Well, with us today is Dr. Keith Verbicki, and he is a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist who's delivered more than 13,000 babies, and he's going to share with us his book, self-published, called Forever Grateful, The Gift of New Life from Organ Donation. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Verbicki.
Thank you, Father Rob. Thank you.
Now, one of the things that your story tells us is, again, God provides, and he provides the one thing you always need, if you have the faith to think he'll do it, huh?
Yes, sir. You know, going through a severe episode of heart failure so suddenly, and then requiring a heart-saving transplant, life-saving transplant, really raised my awareness how God is in control, and he's the ultimate physician, and without his graces and without his ability to guide doctors and provide grace, we will not be able to be successful in whatever endeavor we do.
And of course, you're a physician of helping children come into this world, which is a very important job. And you spent your life studying this. I was reading your book. You didn't know if you were going to be a physician or a priest. And I guess, like Martha and Mary, for God, you chose the better part, which is to be a physician. But that doesn't mean that there's not certain priestly gifts that become very helpful in being a physician, huh?
Yes, for sure. You know, God is the ultimate physician, and we're here as vessels of his to service, you know, people as best we can. I think that one thing I experienced, certainly not only just the physical aspect of a heart transplant, but the spiritual heart transplant. And, you know, God, I think, allows this to happen because he gave his only son and his heart. And we have the ability to ask for a spiritual transplant from Jesus, from God, if we ask for it, and if we repent of our sins, and we're able to then say yes to a spiritual transplant in our heart, so that we can serve him and serve others.
You know, Doctor, there's tons and tons of stories out about people who have suffered from heart failure or kidney failure or lung issues, and some have been on a waiting list to have an organ that would match. And some have waited for months, some waited so long they weren't able to get this. But it sounds like your case was very, very providential. Something kind of happened, and then I would say in a miraculous way, God provided a heart for you from another, huh?
Yes, indeed. You know, the chances of a heart match coming up so quickly is, according to the physicians that are experts in this field, are nearly zero. So the ability to find a perfect match for me within a matter of 48 hours, we feel that was miraculous. And I think one of the things that really led to that was receiving the sacrament of the sick, which I received twice during my illness, and then the daily getting daily Holy Communion, because by doing that, you know, the Holy Faith teaches us we're receiving Christ, body, soul, and divinity, and having him in me and part of me in him, I was able to fight off the desperation, and with his grace, be able to have a successful outcome.
You know, we're talking today with Dr. Keith Verbicki about a heart transplant that he needed not too long ago, a couple years ago. And in the process of this, he needed it within 48 hours. So it's not, as I said, like the story of some people, their heart is getting worse and they can be on an artificial heart pump for kind of things. But, Doctor, this was happening to you like right now, huh?
My ultimate diagnosis, giant cell myocarditis, cause unknown. And most people that have this, they don't survive at all. You know, the mortality rate is extremely high. So I have a very atypical case. And I'm able to talk about it and encourage others to consider donor to be a donor, as well as encourage their faith, because the spiritual heart transplant is ultimately the most important thing that we all need.
Well, you know, in Ezekiel, in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, we hear, I think it's in chapter 36, you know, give me a new heart, Lord. Take away my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. And, you know, the heart plays a very, very important role in Scripture. And now you have the heart of another person that was created for that other person beating in you. How does that feel in a spiritual sense?
Well, he gave me he or she. We don't know who my donor was.
But okay.
The gift of life is, you know, beating in my chest every day, and for that, I've learned that you know, being grateful is so important, more than we realize. And there's a power to our health to be grateful, and I'd encourage everyone to set aside their differences as best we can, and journal gratefulness for what you have been able to receive for that day or that week. And by doing so, we improve our health both physically and spiritually.
Have you ever wanted to get to meet the family of the person who donated their heart, or is it confidentiality issues? They didn't want to meet you, or how does that work? Because you know, they know that the care people know who the heart belonged to.
Right. So the way the process is once the heart recipient receives the organ, the heart, then the family, we write a letter, and it goes to the donor family, but that goes through the medical center where it's done. So we don't know who it's going to, but we write a letter thanking them, of course, and requesting if and when they ever become ready to meet, we'd certainly love to meet them and be able to share our experience and learn more about the donors. So thus far, the family has chosen, you know, not to let us know. But that's sometimes I'm told it can take quite a bit of time for healing. But if not, they're daily in our prayers, and we're so grateful to be able to be alive and spread the word.
Now, when did you have this transplant surgery?
September 24th, 2021. So I'll be 2 years post-transplant in this September.
And how is your health now? I mean, in terms of the heart, the body accepted the heart well, and you've been going through all your cardiac rehab and things?
Yes, so I'm getting a checkup every 3 months at the Heart Institute, and everything is looking great. I have lab work, I have echocardiogram of the heart, some testing. Heart's very strong. I'm back to work full time, and just enjoying every day.
I know that part of our Roman Catholic faith is our organ donations are seen as a very virtuous and a heroic act, and this is something the Church has always encouraged people to do if they're able. And I know I was an organ donor, but since I've had cancer and chemotherapy, they've taken me off the list. I'm not allowed to give my stuff. But I know there are plenty of places that do. I mean, on your driver's license, you get asked, at least in Ohio. Does that work the same way in your state? Do they ask if when you get your driver's license, you want to be listed as an organ donor?
Yes, that's the most popular way of doing it. So it kind of gets overlooked, I think, by sometimes when people are renewing their licenses. But that's the easiest way to be able to be put on a donor list. And also, I want to stress that it isn't just these major organs. People can donate other tissues, cartilage, bone, muscle, retinas of the eyes, et cetera. So there's other opportunities than the major organs as well.
Yeah, I was a hospital chaplain for 5 years, and one of the things there was that we're working with stem cell transplants or bone marrow transplants, which became stem cells, and, you know, to help people with blood diseases, and oftentimes they've been able to prolong people's lives quite a bit.
Yes, and one thing in my particular field, obstetrics, that is growing in popularity is being able to collect cord blood after the birth of the baby and the cord is clamped.
That's right.
Collect cord blood and store those stem cells of the child, you know, permanently. And to be able to use for stem cell use, transplant use in the future, not only for that child that was born, but also many times other family members. So there's a powerful way of donating in that regard as well.
You know, when I was able to work with the physicians and the nurses, it's quite a fascinating thing, the human body. I find it difficult when I come across physicians who really don't believe in God, because you look at the body and you look at its intricacy and its great beauty and how everything fits and works so well. There has to be God behind it.
Oh, and, you know, without a doubt. I mean, it's so humbling to be able to try to understand, you know, the human body, and we never will completely. We're just probably, you know, at just scratching the surface. But, you know, in my field, I get to witness the second greatest miracle on a daily basis. First being receiving Holy Communion, and second being seeing the face of God in the face of a baby.
Well, I was privileged, I guess. It was an emergency. I've been present at several births as a chaplain, and yeah, it is a miraculous thing, and to see that new little face saying, "What in the world did I just get myself into?" And I said, "Well, you didn't get yourself into, your parents did, and we're going to get you through the thing, you know?"
Yeah, exactly.
We've been speaking today with Dr. Keith Verbicki about how his faith helped him and his family after his unexpected heart transplant. Dr. Verbicki, where can people get a copy of your book and also find out more information about becoming a possible organ donor?
Yeah, so online, the book is online, also at the Missionary Benedictine Monastery bookstore here in Norfolk, Nebraska. And then being able to, you know, access donor list, live on Nebraska, and many states have associated with medical centers that are doing transplants. They usually have an organization that will be able to help them learn more about donors. Here in Nebraska, we have Live On Nebraska, but many states, again, have their own organizations.
Well, we'll put our local information up there as well on our show notes at sacredheartradio.com. Dr. Verbicki, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm sure the Lord's got some great things still in store for you.
Thank you, Father Rob. God bless.